This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
Welcome to another hospice show. It's James and Judy here, and we're very, very privileged to have in the studio with us Peter Gilliam.
Yeah.
I keep getting it wrong, don't I? It's because of that G and the I and that soft G that we were taught in French. I must get back to school and learn things the correct way. You are the service development lead at the hospice, Peter. And what does that mean, please?
Okay, so the service development lead is a relatively new post. I took up the post a couple of months ago. What I've been saying is that Nigel Hartley, our chief exec, when he came in, he's challenged us all in a really good way to look at our mission, look at our vision, and develop a strategy for the next 5 years moving forward. And some of the things that we want to do is to reach more people more of the time.
Yes.
So one of the projects that I'm going to be working on is looking at our John Cheverton Centre.
Yeah.
And seeing how the John Cheverton Centre can be accessible to more people more of the time, looking at the services that we currently already run from there, and, and how can we augment that and have more things for more people?
Yeah, because we, I mean, Judy and I have been to the John Cheverton Centre a number of times, and it never fails to blow us away in terms of, you know, what a nice facility it is. I mean, a lot of places on the island all feel a bit run down. The John Cheverton Centre is new, it's bright, it's clean. You know, a lot of sort of happy people in there.
It is, and literally, just as I'm coming down here today, Gary, one of our estates team, is on his knees refreshing some of the paint there. We take great pride in the appearance of the building. The carpets were cleaned last week, and they've come up fantastic. But we want it to be used more of the time. We want it to be a welcoming, warm environment for people.
Yeah.
And we want people from the wider community to come in and use our building.
So just for the benefit of listeners at home, if they haven't been listening to the hospice show before, what is the John Cheverton Centre?
So the John Cheverton Centre, it's a bit of a mix of areas where we deliver some services to some patients and their families. We also have a cafe in there, our Sunflower Cafe, which is again open to the public. It's open, and what we're looking to do is extend the opening hours of that Sunflower Cafe, so it'll be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the evenings.
Wow, we've met your chef, Gary.
Another Gary, and
he came in for an interview, and what a fantastic chap! I mean, he was telling us not only about the cafe, which is in the John Cheverton Centre, but about the food he prepares for your inpatients in your 16 inpatients bed, and how he doesn't give them a menu for the day, but asks them what they would like to eat. And I think he does Sunday lunch for the general public as well, doesn't
he? Every Sunday. I think it's £7.95 for a three-course meal. And you know, I think there was a degree of skepticism as to whether that would work, but we started it probably 18 months ago, and it's been a real success. It really has.
Is it licensed?
No, it isn't. But we do say that people can bring their own bottle.
Oh, that's very nice.
Oh, how lovely.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
It must be so lovely, I think, if you have a loved one who's an inpatient in the hospice, that you can have lunch, Sunday lunch in the hospice. And it's so nice also, if you know, if it's just a great meeting place as well for members of the public, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, we've got things like our free Wi-Fi in there, so even if it is just a meeting place. But you're right, the John Cheverton Centre, it needs to serve quite a lot of different purposes. So it may be that people are going and having counselling within the building. They may just be accessing the art room. We have some free art sessions that happen.
Well, Marianne's in here every fortnight, and she does this amazing Wednesday evening
Absolutely.
Art class, doesn't doesn't she, where people can come in and make Christmas decorations at the moment.
Yep, that's the latest run of art things that they're doing on the Wednesday evenings. We have our concerts on Thursday evenings, once a month usually. I think we've got a couple in December. There's lots going on, but we want more to be going on in there and more people accessing it.
Can I just ask you a slightly difficult question? Do any of the patients ever feel, oh my goodness, there are too many members of the public in here? Or do they actually like the fact that, it's a sort of very mixed space?
If I'm honest, I think you'd find it difficult to understand who's a patient and who isn't a patient sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Who has come in merely to use the cafe or who has come in to use one of our services. I think that's one of the great things. And even staff and the volunteers are not always distinguishable between, you might see somebody with a name badge, but you might not necessarily know exactly what their role is. So from a confidentiality point of view, I don't think there's much conflict there either.
Okay. That's good.
But I think, if you are somebody who's not well, it must be nice not to feel that you're being sort of sidelined and hidden away almost, but that, you are involved with members of the public and people who are coming in for events generally, and that you're still leading a normal life.
Absolutely, and I think one of the things we always strive to do is to enable people to live in their last year, last weeks, last days of life. It's very much, it's a fun, happy place to be.
Yeah.
You were talking about Gary, our chef, and such. We're absolutely blessed within the building that we're able to recruit people who absolutely get the idea of what a hospice needs to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that runs right the way through from our consultants and our very expensive clinical staff, right the way through to all of those people that support the function of the hospice, even our fundraising team, our housekeepers, our chefs. They are all so bought into the concept. It's fantastic, it really is.
Because that's what I was thinking when you were discussing the sort of physical aspects of the John Cheverton Centre and what a beautiful space it is, and it's light and it's beautifully maintained, but it's not just that, is it? I mean, it is the atmosphere, the human atmosphere that you feel when you walk in there as well, isn't it?
Sure. And I read something just the other day that Nigel had sent out. Somebody had come to visit us and they sent him a message just to say, not one person walked past me without saying good morning.
Oh, that's nice. Oh.
Yeah. It's little things like that people take great pride in working in the environment.
Yes.
Well, a little bit later on in the show, I'd like to sort of chat through with you some of the things that are coming up at the John Cheverton Centre. I mean, there are obviously other things as well in the run-up to Christmas that are outside the John Cheverton Centre,
sure.
So we'll do that as well. But first, we're going to get a track. It's Tom O'Dell, Here I Am. And then I'd like to just spend a few moments with you talking about your previous life before you were at the hospice, because you had some challenging career insights, I think, that you've had from those previous roles. Tom O'Dell, it's the Hospice Show here on Vectis Radio. Judy and I are here with Peter Gilliam, who is Service Development Lead at the Hospice. I finally managed to pronounce your name correctly, Peter. Can I just ask you, you've had a fascinating career before you came to the Hospice. You've been a lead cancer nurse at St Mary's here on the island, but also you were at the prison here at Albany, and you were the equivalent of a sister, which is called a charge nurse there. What was that like? I mean, it must be so different from what you're doing now.
It was both a fascinating and challenging experience all rolled into one.
Mm.
It was a job that I very much enjoyed. I went into it probably a little bit naive.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent 2 years working in HMP Isle of Wight, and it was quite a rewarding experience, if I'm honest.
Yes.
I found a natural calling, actually, to work alongside the healthcare team in trying to deliver end-of-life care for prisoners, because it's quite a significant service that's required here on the Isle of Wight.
Because you never think of many prisoners that are dying in custody. You always think they've got to get released, but that's obviously not true then.
There is a process for which can be followed. For prisoners on the island, we have a demographic of quite an elderly population, and that demographic
right.
is is changing across the nation.
Yeah.
So prisoners dying whilst remaining in custody is becoming a more common event.
Right.
And it presents some quite unique challenges to try and deliver end-of-life care in a prison setting.
Right. It must do, and I'm just thinking in terms of practicalities of sort of just, for example, arranging visits from loved ones, apart from any of the other challenges. I mean, that must be quite difficult in just sheer practical terms as well.
I mean, I presume a lot of the Albany prisoners weren't from the island and were from the mainland, so...
Absolutely, yeah. Visits from loved ones and relatives tended to be a more unusual event. I think that's quite specific around the type of population that we have within our Isle of Wight prisons.
Mm-hmm.
HMP Isle of Wight consists of Albany and of the Parkhurst site, and it's a unified population, which is it's a Category B training jail for sex offenders.
Mm-hmm.
So for some prisoners that are housed on the island, their families perhaps no longer have contact with them or want to be involved.
Right.
But it wasn't unusual for us to have to work with the prison team to try and arrange visits and such, and our inpatient unit would be a location where those visits would happen.
Yes. So as well as sort of being imprisoned, you were dealing also with a very isolated community in large part as well.
They're isolated, but the challenge is that their family and their friends become the significant others for them. So to take somebody into an inpatient unit in prison and remove them perhaps from their wing location to where they're normally resident, and that's where their support network is, again, that creates a challenge.
I just hadn't thought about all those implications.
I mean, is there anything from that job that you sort of feel really sort of does a lot for your job now, which is more strategic at the hospital?
Well, I'm still working with HMP Isle of Wight to try and look at how we can continue to improve end-of-life care within the prison setting. We've been working for a little while now also with HMP Winchester and healthcare providers up in HMP Winchester to see whether we can develop a post or a role that can work within the prison. There are, at the moment, so many different draws on the attention of healthcare providers within the prison that the end-of-life care is just one of many.
Yeah.
You know, 80 to 90% of prison population have a pre-diagnosed mental health condition.
Mm.
So end-of-life care tends to sit at the end, or not the end, but quite a long queue of demands as such.
I can imagine.
So as a hospice, we want to very much work with HMP Isle of Wight and look to see how we can use our expertise to help them.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I've never even have thought of that. So, good. Well, you're clearly the man for the job. Can you stick with us, please? Because we've got to have some adverts and then another tune. It's going to be Alt J in a second. And we'd love to talk to you, Peter, about all the events that are coming up, both at the John Cheverton Centre. I know there's one this weekend. But there are also some events coming up in the run-up to Christmas too. Old Jay and Dissolve Me. It's the Hospice Show here on Vectis Radio. We're here with Peter Gilliam from the Hospice. Peter, one of your big roles is to make lots more people come into the John Cheverton Centre. And I know this weekend, a lot of people will be coming in on Sunday, won't they? Because it's a Christmas fair.
Well, we certainly hope we'll get plenty of people in. So we've got our Christmas fair happening, as you say, this Sunday. It starts at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's free entry. There is an array of craft stalls there in anticipation of those little last-minute Christmas presents and bits like that. We have Christmas dinner being served from our cafe there.
Well, I'm just going to stop you there because... I mean, it sounds amazing value because it's two courses, Sunday lunch, for £5.95.
Absolutely.
And I think it's selling out fast, isn't it?
It is.
We've
got two sittings, as far as I'm aware, of 30 people, and I think one sitting is full already.
Yes.
So,
that's good. Please. So how do people get in touch with you to book a table?
As I understand it, if you phone the main switchboard for the hospice, 529-511, you can ask to be put through and to make a booking.
Fantastic.
For the Christmas dinner,
That sounds good. Now, I understand they're going to be fancy dress. Are people going to be dressing up, or is it fancy dress for sale?
I think it's fancy dress for sale. Okay. So we've got Kissy Puppy coming along, and I think they've got some fancy dress costumes there.
And they've got a tombola as well.
They
I
do.
See, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And also people are able to have a little tour of the Chelsea garden because you've got an expert gardener.
Well, Bob and Sue are our gardeners who put in hour after hour after hour of voluntary time.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. You'll often see them working quite late of an evening on a summer's evening. They take every opportunity to make the gardens look as beautiful as possible. So Bob and Sue are doing tours around the Chelsea garden.
Yeah.
As I said, it's not looking at it at its
no, it's probably not at its
best
at the moment. No.
But you can get the concept of it.
No, I know. And obviously with the wind earlier in the week, probably quite a few of the grasses are sort of torn
sure.
up a bit. But
I think what we'd like to do is demonstrate to people the kind of journey of the Chelsea garden and what was there before and what it looks like now.
Yeah, but above all, it gives people a chance to come into the John Cheverton Centre, doesn't it?
And absolutely.
Have a little bit of a look around.
Come and be surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think you care for about 600 islanders every day, don't you?
So, overall. At any one time, around 600 people are receiving services from El Mountbatten Hospice.
Yeah.
The majority of those people will be living in their own homes. They'll be supported by our community team and in particular our palliative care clinical nurse specialists.
Yeah.
We also have services up at St Mary's where we have a hospital palliative care team who support people who may be being given significant information and news regarding a diagnosis or they already know their diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
We have our domiciliary care service who are supporting people to live their last days at home and providing personal care at home. And of course we have all our counselling and bereavement services as well. So
yeah.
it's pretty extensive what we're doing.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity on Sunday for people to come in to the John Cheverton Centre if they haven't seen it before, you know, to realise what a lovely facility it is in Newport and learn a bit more about everything that you're doing for the community here on the island. Thanks for that. I know there are some concerts coming up. Let's talk about those in a second. But first, the Monkees. The Monkees. I think there is some relationship between the Monkees and the Hospice Show because we had that track last week, didn't we?
Yeah, and had a good sing-along then too.
Yeah, we were all singing along. What has happened to Marion? Has she absconded this week? How did you let her out?
I think she's just on leave this week. We spent a week last week up in Liverpool at the Hospice UK conference,
yeah.
Which was fantastic. We were able to see other people's showpieces and seeing yeah. what's happening across the country.
Fantastic.
So, I think she's taken a well-earned rest this week.
Oh, well, that's nice. So no Christmas decorations tonight. But don't forget, next week on Wednesday evening at the John Cheverton Centre, you can go and you can make some Christmas decorations.
I think there's Christmas wreaths tonight.
Is it?
It's without Marion.
Yeah.
Somebody else is going to be taking
somebody's
it over. Well, that's impressive.
Well, I'm looking forward to the marzipan fruits, Chip, if you're listening, because I know Chip goes. So I'm relying on Chip to make me some marzipan fruits.
But wash your hands first, please, Chip. Now, the other thing that's going on at the John Cheverton Centre is there's a wonderful programme of concerts on a Thursday evening. And they're very different. The nice thing is that you tend to sort of mix things up. So you've got classical music, folk music, pop music and things like that. So, Judith, you've got a bit of
I've got some news about that. The concerts are held on the first Thursday of each month in the John Cheverton Centre. And next up is the concert on Thursday, the 1st of December, with Island singer-songwriter Mark Cook, who's taken the name Afton from the famous site of the 1970 Isle of Wight Festival.
Oh, right.
Mark's really, really well known in the Isle of Wight music community for his performances of covers, and he's appeared at a variety of venues, including the 2015 Isle of Wight Festival.
Fantastic.
But, at his concert at the hospice on the 1st of December, he will be performing some of his own original material, which he's written over the years.
Probably
and
good.
It sounds as though it's going to be a very unique and intimate gig.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
And
classical as well, isn't there?
Yep, there's classical as well. Now, there's a concert there's another concert on Friday the 9th of December, which will be a mix of classical repertoire from Amy Green, who's a saxophonist, and Christine Zarafa, who's a pianist. Amy Green studied at the Royal College of Music in London and also at the Paris Conservatoire. Mm-hmm. She has performed at many very, very famous venues in London and has won many prizes. Christine, who's accompanying her on the piano, hails from Malta. She's now based in London.
Right.
And has a fantastic reputation, also an award-winning musician and performs at all the top London venues. So that's one to look out for if classical music is more your thing. Now, the concerts at the hospice cost £10 per ticket, mm-hmm. and that includes a glass of wine and canapés.
Lovely canapés.
Lovely
yeah.
canapés. We've been to one of these concerts, and the canapés were fantastic. Worth going for the canapés.
That's Gary again.
That's Gary.
And one of our volunteers, Sue, yeah, she comes in every time to do those.
Oh, nice.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I've never seen
such... Big shout out to them, because it's really, really good.
I've never seen such beautiful canapés, or so many in one place.
I think to book up, Tina Groves might be the person.
Yeah. Yes, so well, I should just confirm that the concerts are in fact free for patients. £10 per ticket
yeah.
for everybody else. Start time is 7:30. If you'd like more details or to book, give Tina Groves a call, please. She's on 217-311. That's 217-311. Or check out the website, which is iwhospice.org.
That's fantastic. Good. Stick with us, please, because we are going to be talking about a rather special run that's going to take place in Ryde shortly. It's called the Santa Dash. And then also about the Lights of Love concerts and events around the island in the next few weeks. Guilty Flowers. Now, we've just got time to finish off the hospice show with a couple of great events coming up. We're here with Peter Gilliam. Peter, first of all, there's going to be the Lights of Love services, and that's going to be happening all over the island in the next few weeks, isn't it?
They are, yeah. The Lights of Love service, they happen in your wider community, in your local churches, so look out in your local newsletters and such. But we have our larger Lights of Love service at the Newport Minster.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the 2nd of December at 7 p.m.
That's
quite a special event for us. It's the opportunity for people to come and remember those that they may have lost. And then we also have another Lights of Love service based at Earl Mountbatten Hospice on the Fairlie Road site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on again Sunday the 4th of December at 4 p.m.
Well, that sounds lovely. It's a great way to remember loved ones, as you say. And I think people can also sponsor lights on the Christmas tree.
Absolutely.
And the hospice is another way of remembering.
Yeah, and usually write short messages as well.
So. And we're just going to dash quickly into the final item, which is appropriately the Santa Dash. This is going to be at Ryde. You're marshalling rather than running, which is a bit of a cop out, but I understand you can enter into this dash dressed in a Santa costume, which will be provided to you. I think it's about a 3-mile course, isn't it? You can walk it or run it or jog it, whatever you want. Adults are £15, under 12s £10, family groups £40, and then the idea is to get a bit of sponsorship on top of that.
Absolutely. So, welcome to the bizarre world of working in a hospice. You can Santa Dash in the morning and have Lights of Love in the afternoon.
Exactly. So, what we're going to see is hundreds of people literally running along Ryde Seafront in Santa costumes. Well, what a wonderful way to start off Christmas. That's Sunday, the 4th of December.
Yep.
So, same day, as you say, as the Lights of Love service at the hospice itself.
Correct.
But you do have time to get over there and hopefully have a shower first. If you want to take part in that, call fundraising on 217-300. Well, Peter Gilliam, thank you very much for coming in today. It's been lovely chatting to you, and we'll be back in a fortnight's time. Thank you.
Thank you. www.vectisradio.com.